Reading Glasses, a show about book culture and literary life designed to help you read better. I'm writer, filmmaker, and book devourer Mallory O'Mara.
And I'm Bria Grant, actress, filmmaker, and e-reader. This episode, we're talking about scary nonfiction with our special guest, supernatural expert, Ross Blotcher. Hey, Ross.
Hello.
Ross is here from Oh No, Ross and Carrie, another Max Fun show.
Yes.
Amazing. But first,
what are you reading, Bria?
Because we were talking about this in this episode, I'm going to talk about a book I finished last week called Gulp, recommended by Mallory O'Mara.
I got so excited I hit Mallory's.
For those listening, Mallory guys, almost died.
I love Mary Roach.
You guys both just saw us. Do we need to take a minute? Do we have to have a breather? Guys,
we both gesticulated so excitedly that my microphone stand fell over. Now you know so many fart facts, right?
Mallory.
So many fart facts.
You know me, and you know I did not appreciate some of this book, and I skipped some chapters because I was like, I will not read about people who eat poop. I will not read it. I'm not excited about it.
That's one of the best chapters.
I refuse to eat it. Eat it.
Now the word bolus is in your vocabulary.
Yes.
No, it's not, because there were chapters I was like, I cannot read this. Now,
okay, so what is Gulp?
Okay, I'm sorry. Gulp is about Mary Roach does these. We call them, they're science-y books.
Yeah,
science-y?
They're not, yeah. She does these really, really deep nonfiction dives into mostly taboo subjects.
Yeah, and this one is about the digestive tract.
Yes.
So I was doing a movie where I was playing a sommelier, and I was like, oh, this is a good thing to read because it's like about the palate.
Unless you're serving up poop wine.
And the first part of it actually is like about tasting in your mouth and like smell and like how smell affects tasting. So I did feel like I learned a lot, and then I kept reading it. And
because you move down the digestive tract.
Yeah, she goes literally all the way down.
The elementary
and you end
canal.
With like fetal transplants, which I learned a lot about that. And it was pretty fascinating.
Oh, yeah. Those can help people. That's the future.
Apparently, they're like, it's the future.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what she said. Anyway, there are parts of this book that I didn't appreciate, and I almost wrote you a text because I was a little mad at you because I was like, you know I wouldn't like this. You know I don't like
but knowledge is power, Bria.
Stuff.
Now you have power.
I like the jokes of it, but I don't like reading about the science of it.
Oh, well, fair enough.
I didn't like it. She was like, oh, God.
What about that chapter where they're eating cat food or dog food?
Oh, God. Damn it. Fucking hate it. It's so gross to me. It was grossing me out. But I learned a lot. Anyway, what are you reading, Mallory?
So I also was doing some research, but for the show, I want to say in the middle, but it's a choose-your-own-adventure book, so I can't actually tell where I am.
Right, sure.
It's Night Shift by Joanna Angel, and it's a choose-your-own-adventure erotic novel, which is so much fun. It's a really good... I had to, like, think about how I was going to talk about this book without making really terrible puns, but it's a really good entry point into, like, have you never read, I have not read a lot of erotic books, so it's really, because it's so fun and kind of silly and there's a lot of jokes, it's a really good starting point for books like that. It is very sexy, not just because there's a scene where they watch Twin Peaks together.
Yeah, Mallory literally, she sent me a text saying, this is the sexiest part, which is them talking about watching Twin Peaks.
That is very sexy to me.
Post-coital Twin Peaks.
Post-coital Twin Peaks, or like pre-coital. Coital Twin Peaks, or like any relation to coital is good.
Mid-coital Twin Peaks.
Have I ever? But yes, I really, really highly recommend it. It's a lot of fun. And Ross, what are you reading?
That was a good pitch. I've always got an ebook, a physical book, and an audio book.
Whoa, Ross.
I just finished The Singularity Is Near by Ray Kurzweil.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Yeah, he's a technologist and inventor himself. So if you want to know all about AI and the future of intelligent machines, that's the one to read.
I'm too afraid to know that stuff.
This is a good Twin Peaks connection. I just picked up Stories from the Messengers.
Oh.
Accounts of Owls, UFOs, and a Deeper Reality.
Give me that shit.
Mike Cleland. Yeah, nice connection there. Well, we had him on our show, which we'll talk about in just a second. And so he believes that owls are connected to UFOs and aliens as there's this whole synchronicity and archetypal connection. And so he collects stories of how people have seen owls, but they were actually aliens. Or
owls truly are not what they seem.
It's wild. So I'm enjoying that.
I am into this.
Wow. Okay, that's two. What's the third one?
Oh, well, I just started. My ebook is The Alienist, which is a recommendation from you.
Yes. So we just recently did a little promotion. I don't want to call it a charity donation thing. We did some special thing because the world is a nightmare reality right now.
Oh, yes.
This stuff with the... children being separated at the border is awful. So we reached out on social media and said that if you donated to Kidlit Says No to Children in Cages, which was this like a bunch of children's literature authors got together and like picked out a bunch of charities that are helping nonprofits down in Texas at the border. If you donated to them and emailed readingglassespodcast@gmail.com, we would give you a personalized reading recommendation. And Ross was very generous and donated and emailed us and wanted a book that some nonfiction, a thriller that you learned something.
I'm impressed that you remember that.
Mallory has a steel trap mind. It's amazing.
Can't hear very well, and I can't run, but I remember things. The Alienist is, I love that book.
Yeah.
I'll let you talk about it, but it's so good.
Wait, is it what the series is based on?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
By Caleb Carr.
Well, I just started it, but yeah, it's like the early ages of detective work where they were just starting to learn how to solve crimes and do toxicology and stuff like
that. Yeah. But it's so well researched. My partner Alan read it and he kept having to check to make sure it was fiction because it's so well researched. It feels like nonfiction.
Like Teddy Roosevelt is a character.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's really, really good.
That's rad.
Yeah, great recommendation. And we stole your idea, too. We also put out the call for donations.
Oh, yay. Okay.
And we promised 20-second videos as a response. So we're 46 down, but we've got like three times that many. Which is great. Great problem to have.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So thanks for the idea.
Hey, we all have to get together and fight the forces of evil.
It's true.
Indeed.
And I guess that's owls. We're all going to go fight some owls. Okay, so we want to take a moment to share some listener feedback. James writes in, after hearing you recommend one a few months back, I shopped around and got myself a reading journal. It's great. I've always wanted to be a journaler, but never managed to make it a regular part of my life. Having something specific to journal about and having regular but not daily reasons to write, I don't read books quite that fast, has really helped me pick up the habit and stick to it. It's been nice to reflect a little, and my journal has a small space to record anything important that happens while I'm reading the book I'm journaling about, which is a very nice bonus.
Oh, James, send us a picture.
Yeah, sure.
Because I'm curious. Because mine is just my mother makes journals, so mine is just a blank journal that I just write in now. That's what I've started using. By the way, I have this great journal. This is a little off topic, but welcome to me. I have this great journal that also my mom got me, which is a 5-year journal. Do you guys know about these?
No.
Where it's every page is one day of the year, so it's like June 13th or whatever, and then there's 5 blanks, so you like write one sentence for today, and then next year you'll write one sentence on that day, and next year, and so you do it for 5 years, so you can see what's happening, but you just write one sentence. So every night before I go to bed, I'm like, today I did this, it was great, feeling good, feeling terrible, whatever, like I just write like a little sentence. It's an awesome journal. I'll post it on my
really
Instagram.
Cool.
It's really, really cool. I just feel like that would give me anxiety.
What does?
Just thinking, like, I already think about way too far in the future, so.
No, not in the future. I like to think about the past, because I'll go back and be like, what happened 1 month ago? And I'm like, oh, wow, that seemed so much longer ago.
Oh, that is kind of nice.
Yeah, it's nice. I like it. So Shannon wrote in and said, I work at a library, and one thing our library offers is Novel List Plus. That's Novelist. It's only one L. It's a really great feature for book recommendations. What it does is that it allows you to parse out exactly what you liked about a book and then find books similar to that. So in the search bar, you can put the title of the book you just finished, and it will list read-alike books similar and will also say why they're similar. Or you can make your own appeal mixer. Instead of searching for books in a similar genre, you can search for books with similar character types, writing styles, pace, etc. I find this style of recommendation extremely useful as I seem to be a picky reader and often like books based on certain character type rather than a certain genre.
That's really cool.
That's super cool. People don't need us anymore. They just use this thing. I've never even heard of that.
Yeah, I think you can ask for it at your library because not all libraries have the program, but it would be perfect for you, Brie. You could just be like, girls on a journey and dogs.
Space.
And space. That's all you need.
Is it an app? I don't totally understand.
I checked it out. It is an app. It's a program that you can only access if your library has it.
Oh, cool. But does our library have it, the Los Angeles Public Library?
I didn't check. Okay.
All right, we'll look into this. So we have some special bookmarks today. What do we call this? Bookmarks?
Yeah, bookmarks. That what you call
it. We haven't done this show in like 3 weeks. we have some special bookmarks today. Dun, dun, dun.
Yes. So, guys, my book is finally available for pre-order.
Oh my God.
I'm very excited about it.
I already pre-ordered it.
Oh, thank you, Bria.
So did a couple of my friends.
Yeah,
thanks for posting those
guys.
Photos.
It doesn't even have a cover yet, and I have some very exciting news about the cover when I can announce it. But yeah, it's available for pre-order. On ebook and hardcover through everywhere books are sold. I'll put a link in the show notes. IndieBound, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all that stuff.
What's it called?
The Lady from the Black Lagoon. It's my book about Millicent Patrick, who's the woman who designed the creature from the Black Lagoon. And it comes out on March 5th next year. And if you are listening to the show, you know how important pre-orders are. And thank you to everyone already who has pre-ordered it. It was on the Amazon movie bestseller list for a little while, which was super exciting. So, yeah, thank you guys. I'm really excited and feeling a lot of feelings about it. So thanks for all the support. Oh, also, one of our amazing listeners reminded everyone that if you can't afford the book, which is understandable, you can suggest it from your library, which is really exciting.
Oh, can you already do that?
Yeah.
Oh, I haven't done it.
Yeah, you can.
I'll do that too.
And I got like a lot of feelings about thinking about my book in the library. Oh, God, you're gonna make me cry.
Ross just ordered it too.
Oh, thank you guys. Oh, God. Okay, so before I cry, you can email us at readingglassespodcast@gmail.com. Before we talk about spooky nonfiction, we're gonna take a quick break.
Well, Adam, we're still putting out the Greatest Discovery podcast while we wait for season 2.
What are we doing with these episodes?
We've talked to a whole bunch of interesting people, like The Wall Street Journal's Ben Fritz and MaximumFun.org's own Danielle Radford. We're kind of using this time to find ways to entertain ourselves and you while we wait for the next season.
So catch yourself up with Star Trek Discovery and join us Tuesday on The Greatest Discovery. It's on MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
This week, it's all about scary nonfiction. You know when you start watching a scary movie and right after the credits, a big based on a true story flashes across the screen and you're like, damn, I want to know what really happened. Or you're bored late at night and you're watching a ghost hunting show and you wish you can get all those cool legends about creepy houses without listening to those weird ghost hunter dudes with horrible tattoos. Maybe you're flying on a vacation and you're wondering if you really need to worry about the Bermuda Triangle.
I think about that all the time, the Bermuda Triangle. That's one of my major concerns in life.
When I was a little kid, that was my big thing.
I can help you with
that. I know.
That.
Yeah, can you? Sean is also very worried about it, too. Is that near Australia?
No, nowhere
near.
So we're here to help, and we brought in a special expert. Ross, first off, can you tell us about your awesome show?
Yeah, so I'm half of Oh No, Ross and Carrie, and we're also on the Max Fun Network. We investigate claims of the paranormal, fringe religious groups, alternative medical treatments, and we try all of that ourselves. So we go join Scientology or take ayahuasca or take out-of-body travel classes.
You guys
stuff
are
like
so
that.
Brave. I'm
so
afraid of
brave.
Cults.
No, me too. I'm never, another.
That's like our biggest number one fear. Yeah. Concern being in a cult.
Concern I might accidentally join a cult. And you've purposely joined cults.
There's a fine line between bravery and foolhardiness. So we're somewhere on that spectrum. But yeah, we just wander in, we join up, and kind of do this undercover, see what happens, and we report on when they ask you for money and how they answer questions, and we try to have fun with it and make friends. So,
you ever have to wear robes?
Oh, have I? Well, actually, yes. When I got my Mormon baptism, I had actually it was kind of a onesie, sort of a white jumpsuit.
This is off.
But do the people know you're doing a podcast ever?
Sometimes.
Is that like something you have to disclose?
Well, we've learned not to start reporting until we're done with the investigation.
Yes.
That bit us in the butt when we investigated the Ordo Templi Orientis. Up in Pasadena. It's it's very much tied to Aleister Crowley.
There's a new show about that coming out.
Oh, really?
Yes. Strange Angel about the Jet Propulsion Laboratory and Jack Parsons.
Jack Parsons, right. Yeah. And funny enough, L. Ron
and
Hubbard.
Sex magic. That's the other thing. It's like rockets and banging with magic.
Sounds like a good cult.
Yeah, so many cool stories.
No, Bria, don't do it.
Wait, should I join that one?
Wait, no.
It's got naked priestesses and cookies that may or may not contain sperm.
Gluten-free?
You know what? Maybe.
That's how you know we're from Los Angeles.
They weren't too happy when we released an episode and then we came back. We were very unceremoniously kicked out.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
They didn't murder you.
They didn't. See? So it all works out.
That's good.
Yeah. Let's talk about books.
Yeah. Okay. So, guys, you listen to all of that. You can tell we have a serious expert on our hands. Ross has been through all the scary shit and he's lived through it. And can give us some awesome book recommendations. So basically what we're talking about this episode is, like, you know, we did an episode on horror and it's sort of easy to find cool horror fiction and horror short stories and stuff like that. But if you want to know more about ghosts and hauntings and weird stuff and secret societies, occult history, you probably know there's a lot to look through. Not all of it is good. So if you want to get some quality, you actually want to read about this stuff, you have to do some digging. And since a lot of these subjects aren't exactly official sciences, many of the books out there are a little sketchy. Also, just heads up, if you find a weird book filled with incantations, please don't read from it out loud. That's like, the first rule of books like these. But there are awesome books out there. So do you guys read a lot of spooky nonfiction?
Absolutely.
Well, that's your job. Yep. That's part of your job.
My avocation, yes.
For me, no. I think we should, like, literally skip over me on this episode because I feel like maybe, like, I just don't read that much nonfiction generally. Obviously, I read some recently that you recommended. Was not
now she will
about
never
it.
Now she will never read another nonfiction.
No, I did really like the book. But I don't reach for it. But this is the kind of nonfiction I feel like I should be reaching for. But yeah, I think my concern is there's a lot of, like, bunk out there, you know? Yeah. And I don't want to be walking around worrying about the Bermuda Triangle again if I shouldn't be worried about it. Should I be worried about the Bermuda Triangle?
Hey, I can help you here with a book maybe recommendation.
Please.
Okay, so the Bermuda Triangle myth was popularized by Charles Berlitz, actually the same guy behind the Berlitz language learning.
I don't know that.
Okay.
What is it?
It's just like Rosetta Stone and there's Berlitz. It's like a company where you can learn languages. So same guy, but he wrote a lot of books. And one of them was the Bermuda Triangle in 1974. And it popularized this idea that there was this specific area where ships went missing and planes went missing. Turns out there is no higher occurrence of planes or ships going missing in that region than
Big
anywhere
relief.
Else. Yeah.
Wow.
So it's
check that one off the
anxiety
list.
Pretty much invented out of whole cloth or just very selective storytelling. Mm. So you really don't need to worry about it.
I don't have to worry about it.
Well, thank goodness.
Take that one off my list of worries before I fall asleep at night. But obviously you read a lot of spooky nonfiction, Ross.
Yeah.
How do you decide what to read? Like, how do you figure out what is like good and what is going to be crappy?
That's tough. Well, like everybody here and everybody listening, I have a long list of to read books. I very much involved in the skeptical community, and so I hear a lot about books in advance, and so you kind of suss out sort of what's a more credible and what's a more credulous source. But yeah, you're right. There's a lot of bunk out there, and this
because there's no count like ghost council that's out there fact checking all this stuff.
This category
this is not factual.
Yeah, that would be proof of the phenomenon itself. Yeah, this category really rides the line between fiction and nonfiction. So
yeah.
So you, usually by reading the cover, you can kind of get an idea for that. You do have people who live sort of at the junction between those, and that's always interesting. But yeah, when I think of spooky nonfiction, one of the first ones that comes to mind, well, is Spook.
By Mary Roach.
Mary Roach!
I should just get a t-shirt that says Mary Roach and then a bunch of exclamation points underneath it, because that's how I feel about Mary Roach.
I'm just going to keep going back to Mary Roach. I think I read the sex one.
Bonk.
I think I read that one and I liked it, and I think I've read another one, but maybe I should read Spook.
Spook's Grunt? Maybe, or Packing for Mars. That's
the big
only
one is Stiff.
Stiff. That's, like that's a great, that was her first
Stiff
one, I think.
Yeah.
Or at least how she got on the map.
Yes. Stiff was like her breakout book, but it's all about the uses of, actually, what's funny is that's what Spook is what I recommended on our bonus content episode when we did recommendations for each Max Funcho for Oh No, Ross and Gary.
That's right. That's right. But would you consider Spook like scary nonfiction?
Absolutely.
Oh,
yeah.
It's scary?
Yeah. Well, it's not scary, but it's her, Mary Roach's search. She goes on a year-long search to try to find, like, actual hard evidence of the paranormal.
Yeah.
I won't spoil it for you because I'm a me, but you should read the book. It's very, very good.
And I don't think this is spoiling it to say she gets into fun stories like the early attempts to measure the weight of the soul.
Oh, yes. I've heard about that. Yeah.
And
it's my weight loss
21 grams,
plan.
That whole.
I just don't have one.
I just keep trying to sell my soul to lose weight. Like, yeah. I just sell my soul to various people.
Oh, yes.
and also the stories of ectoplasm. There's another book in that vein by Deborah Bloom, another favorite author.
She's the one who wrote the Poisoner book.
Yeah, the Poisoner's Handbook, yes. Which is one of my all-time favorites.
Oh, I just
also
added that to actually my library queue. That's so weird.
Also very spooky.
That's scary because you make us food every time we come here.
You guys come in there and I have that one open next to a cookbook. I know, I got them confused.
You want to try Bria's Poison Loaf?
My wife and I were both reading that at the same time, and I remember thinking, like, I don't know if I feel weird about you reading that. but it's an account of very much like in the same world as The Alienist, which I'm super excited about. The early attempts to learn how to do toxicology reports and, okay, what do you boil and how do you distill it to find out whether
because back in the day, you could poison fucking everybody. Right. They had no way of knowing.
With impunity.
You could still poison anybody,
yeah,
really.
But they can test for things now.
I know, but like,
you can still do it, but you're going to get caught now.
Then they're going to look for the rat poison. They're going to check your receipts.
I see. Yeah. Right. It was easier because there was like less of a paper trail.
Paper trail, but also they couldn't like test you. This was before they were able to like test your blood and find, you know, poisons in there.
Okay, that makes sense.
Before it was like, oh, well, you know, it was struck down by God. Who knows?
Okay, back to books. So what books do we, what are like the starter manual books if you're like, I want to read some spooky stuff, but I want it to be based on true things?
Mm. Yeah. So I read a lot about this because I read a lot of horror, but my favorite part of horror is when you get that like sweet, sweet exposition dump where you get all of the like the weird legends and backstory behind what's going on. So my particular favorite nonfiction books are all about like hauntings and monsters, and it's, you know, the folklore basically. They're all like, it's kind of at the intersection of history, horror, folklore, sometimes zoology if it's about monsters. And the good ones are like really, really high quality, you know, folklore books. Ghostland by Colin Dickey is a really, really good one. It's like a history of America, but through different hauntings in different parts of the country. This book called Trolls by John Lindau. It's just like a history of troll legends.
Oh.
Because I just think trolls are not internet trolls that tell me to kill myself and send me pictures of their dicks, but like actual trolls, because I think they're like they're
around
really,
the world.
Cool.
I feel like they're more popular and not in America.
Yes. Also, there's a book I really, really like called Scream by Margie Kerr, and it's a book about the science of fear and scary things in different cultures. So this lady's actual job is she studies fear. She's a psychologist, but she works with haunted houses and actually goes through them and makes them scarier.
Oh, that's cool.
By using her like feared science. Yeah, isn't that crazy? So she'll like assess it and be like, oh, well, if this part would be scarier if you did this and that. So she goes all around.
That is clearly your job in another life.
Oh my God, yes. So exciting.
Your house is already a haunted house. You've
basically
already gone through your house.
Made it as scary as possible. But she like goes, like what's interesting is she like, there's a part where she goes to American haunted house, but then she goes to a Japanese haunted house. And in Japan, she like contrasts the content of the haunted houses is different over there because people get more scared by story. So you have to like read this little scroll before you go in. And so this relies a lot more on emotional content and like guilt and making you feel bad.
Oh, wow. Nice.
So it's really, really interesting to see what's scary in different parts of the world. So stuff like that, I like, that's my shit.
I went to Euro Disney in Paris, which is not a great Disney. But we went there and the Haunted Mansion is very different because they're scared of different things. Especially, they're not scared of, like, old French Quarter style, like, New Orleans houses.
They're scared of Americans and bad food.
And, like, so it was, like, not at that style of house. So I was like, oh, right, of course. They're not scared of that because for some reason we're scared of, like, ooh, it looks like an old French thing. French people are like, that's what our shit looks like. They don't care.
That's really interesting. Yeah. Yeah, stuff like that is really, really fascinating to me.
Okay, what about you?
All right, I'm adding all of those to my to-read list.
Oh, wow.
Well, it depends on where you want to go with it. I mean, there's something for every category because there's so many subcategories within spooky things. I would say it would be good to start maybe with some grounding. There's a lot of good books out there just to kind of help you build up your BS detector. So The Demon Haunted World by Carl Sagan is a great one.
Oh.
James Randi has a few books like Flim Flam that help you kind of determine who are the charlatans and just what to ask those questions. So I've read a lot of those books. But I'll say some really fun ones.
You brought a whole stack of books over here.
Yeah,
just very impressed.
Some visual aids. Abominable Science.
That's what you need for a podcast is visual aids.
Yes, right, exactly. Abominable Science is easy to say.
Oh,
and
I have to get that.
It's a great book on cryptozoology if you're into that.
Oh, I am into that.
Bria just lit up like a
Christmas
tree.
I do love cryptozoology.
But it's written by a vertebrate paleontologist, Donald Prothero, a friend of mine, and also by Daniel Loxton, who does the illustrations as well. And it just goes into the history of every one of these figures, Nessie.
That is my shit.
Loch Ness Monster. And then shows the origin, like, okay, here's when this was faked and how it was found out, and this part is a hoax, but this we don't know, and here's what scientifically it could be. Lots of really cool context.
Yeah.
It got really beautiful.
For readers, I'd like to point out that some of this stuff is like a good in between. Like, if you're really, you want to be into horror, but you're like, get scared very, very easily, these are kind of good in between books. Like, because these books aren't meant to scare the shit out of you. They're just giving you information.
Yeah. Okay,
so if you're the kind of person who's afraid of horror movies but reads the Wikipedia entries because you want to know what happened, this episode is for you.
Okay, here's a book that'll scare the shit out of you.
Oh, jeez. Okay.
All right.
Disregard everything I just said.
Death from the Skies.
Oh, I've read Death
from
the
Skies. By Phil Plait.
I know Phil.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
Yeah, that is a very scary book. And
it's
also,
the ways we
you
could
talked about it on the
die.
Show, right?
I think I have talked about it on the show. It's the ways we could die. Like,
astronomical things that could just end all of humanity in an instant. We'd never know they were coming.
Yeah, it's horrifying.
Like,
so
a
if
black
you have really bad
wonders.
anxiety like me, I will not be
reading
this book.
Well, if you also
book.
Just like, if you're like, oh, you know, it makes you feel small. It's kind of good sometimes to feel small.
I'm fine with that.
There's a really great book called Abducted by Susan Clancy.
Ooh.
And this was an interesting story, just how she got into this. She was trying to write about memory and repressed memories and investigate, you know, is that a real thing or not? And she thought, well, who can I use as a study group? And so
a bunch of aliens.
So she reached out to people who'd had abduction experiences.
Wow.
And started interviewing them. And so she wrote this great book that just really rides the line between taking these people seriously and regarding them as humans, but also looking at the relevant psychology of memory. So that's another great book. From Here to Infinity by Caitlin Doughty.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we had her on the show.
yeah,
friend of the
books.
Show.
Oh. Yeah, From Here to Eternity and
Very
Smoke
early
in
we
your
had
eyes.
Her on the show.
I've listened to every episode, so I heard
she,
it.
She, I've known her for a long time.
She's
it's very
so
those
cool.
books are so
she's very
good.
Cool. Her other book is good, too. Smoke Gets in Your Eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's that stuff is good. Guys, I have read these books, so I don't feel so dumb. I don't feel so...
That's spooky. She visits places around the world and talks about their death practices.
My favorite one is that she goes into the... I don't remember where it is, which is really horrible, but these one culture where they go and they, like, mummify their relatives, and then once a year they go and they clean them off, which I was like... That's pretty nice.
Yeah.
Like, it's such a lovely thing to do. Like, not maybe a death practice I'm super interested in doing, but, like, I thought it was, like, a really nice way.
If it's the one I'm remembering, it's, like, in Southeast Asia.
I believe so.
And they'll actually parade the bodies around
and then
put them back. Yeah.
I think it's pretty cute.
We're reading that book for my book club soon, and I'm going to read Smoke Gets in Your Eyes while everyone else reads From Here to Eternity.
So let's do a sidebar real fast, but you're in a book club that's a spooky book club?
Skeptic book club.
So we often read books in this genre. just things generally nonfiction, science nonfiction, totally my wheelhouse. Occasionally we'll challenge ourselves to read some fun fiction, but we are literally
down the street,
less than half a mile from where we are right now.
The spooky area.
Los Angeles.
East Los Angeles.
Yeah, and that's where Carrie and I met, was at that book club when it was at a different location. But
and you were like,
we should keep talking about
this. Putting your life in danger on a weekly basis?
Can I have your robe sizes, please? Let's do this.
Seriously, how that happened. Carrie said, hey, who wants to go to this Kabbalah meeting with me? And I was the only one who said, yeah. And everyone else said, why would we go to a Kabbalah lecture on astrology? We don't believe in any of that. So thus started the podcast.
I'd be too scared. I'm way too scared of being in a cult. I don't want anyone to touch me.
Ross is trying to be in a cult.
I mean, I could go on all day, so I won't. But Devil in the White City. Another great spooky.
Eric Larson.
Spooky.
Yeah,
book
murder
that
books.
People can get into. It's telling the story of the Columbian Exposition in 1893. At the same time, it's telling the story of H.H. Holmes.
Which was, you know, sort maybe America's first serial killer.
Yeah.
So kind of hard to tell, because what if there was one that we didn't know about? Because he or she was just so damn good.
Right.
Here's a question. How do these kind of, what is the background of the people who write these kind of books? Are they science background?
The good ones are all like scientists or historians.
Journalists.
Yeah, journalists, mm-hmm. a lot of them. The bad ones are like, you know, weird people who are in cults.
You just gave me a great idea. There could be a great book about Roanoke Island and how that was actually the first serial killer.
Oh, that's a good idea. You should take that off the show. You'd make a lot of money with that idea. I'm surprised I haven't already read that book.
So these are all great book recommendations, and I'm sure people understand what we're talking about by now. But so how do we actually go out and find these books? Besides getting recommendations from friends and stuff, like how do we, what are good places to look for these things? Like, I think a lot of people forget that this is a place in the bookstore that you can go look for things. It's sometimes called occult, sometimes it's called New Age, but it's all, and that's where things kind of get muddy because it's like books on crystal balls and astrology and then werewolves and then ghosts.
I definitely think of New Age as being like a crystal ball, like see the future, read your palm kind of situation.
But that's where all
and
these
maybe
books
are. There's like a book on incense.
And so, I mean, sometimes they're in the science or history section. It sort of depends on your bookstore. But you can look up paranormal nonfiction. I'm surprised that more goth kids aren't in cults, because as a young goth child, when I would go to I would always want to find nonfiction books about werewolves, and they're next to like occult societies and the Masons and all these things. Like, it's all the same shelf.
Oh, yeah.
I read from all ends of that shelf. So I love the more credulous books as well. But again, that's part of my wheelhouse and specific interest. But yeah, I would say start in the science section, because there are going to be a lot of books about these topics, but in the science section, and generally those will be ones that are more well researched and backed up.
Mary Roach is going to be science.
Mary Roach.
Yeah. I think we're just going to start a separate podcast. It's just called me and Ross. Mary Roach for an hour.
One of those authors where I'll just automatically read anything she writes. Sam Keen is another one, a really fun.
Oh, I don't know if I've read
nonfiction
anything.
Author. Caesar's Last Breath that he just wrote is one of my favorite nonfiction books. Highly recommend.
Now, we know Mallory was a goth kid. How did you get into this?
Was.
Is.
Well, I guess I'm now a goth adult.
Look at what you're wearing right now. You have your shaved head underneath, blue hair, and you're wearing a Medusa shirt? Who is that?
It's a spooky shirt.
It's just a spooky person with crazy spooky hair. And like snakes or some shit is coming out of it.
Check boxes checked.
Listen, you can try to take the goth out of the Mallory, but you can't take the... Well, I don't know.
I'm out of that.
How did you get it?
Well, funny enough, I was a very buttoned up Christian evangelical child. That's how I was
raised.
Wow.
Although I will say I know a lot of... I mean, it's a fine line between being into that stuff and like magic, because there's a lot of Catholics, they drink blood and eat flesh bread or whatever.
So Catholic Church, I love the things that you get to say out loud.
At that time, I was still really excited every time a Scholastic book order would come in.
Remember those?
And you go through and circle the books you want.
That was the day.
And then give it to your parent, like, give me money to buy these. So I would get anything that had to do with conspiracy theories, aliens, cryptozoological creatures, ghosts. I would just read anything about it. I was just fascinated by that. I remember early on watching Unsolved Mysteries, and I really got into the X-Files. So I always had that undercurrent, and I had my own little theories about how aliens are actually demons and stuff like that. I'd worked it all out.
So you've always been on brand.
X-Files is really a gateway drug to getting into this stuff, because I feel like X-Files was also where I was like,
you know what?
I love sci-fi.
You know, I've never seen it.
Really? It's actually, I've rewatched the
seasons really
recently.
I'm really bad at
watching
TV.
It's quite good.
So, same here, but I was really into that. And the Scully effect is a real thing. Scully being on TV inspired many women to get into STEM, so it's had a real measurable effect. So yeah, I kind of went from being a Mulder to being a Scully, but I still stayed interested in the topic.
I kind of look a little bit like
Mulder. Do people tell you that?
Oh, yeah.
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 Wait, hold on. What does that mean?
So Mulder is the credulous one, and Scully was always the skeptic.
Oh.
She would look for the scientific explanation.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and he was like, you gotta believe in aliens. They abducted my Swiss sister. Like, that was his whole bit.
And the episode would sort of leave you at the end thinking, well, I think it's true, but maybe it's not. I'm not sure.
Yeah, pretty much every time. But kind of they were all true. Like, every time you're like, Scully, you just saw a demon, like, in the last episode.
Right.
Like, how can you not believe this? This episode, it was always like, at the very beginning, she was just, like, reset back to being a
That's
full scientist.
True. That's true.
Do you want to talk about any more of these books? You brought a stack of books, and, like, I feel like we should. It is a book podcast, after all.
I just brought some fun random things off the shelf that were still on my shelves and hadn't been lent out to anyone. Psychic Blues is a fun story by a friend of mine, Mark Edward, who sort of rides that line. He's worked as a professional psychic, so he talks about being on those hotlines and what happens. But he's now a skeptic, but he also still does mentalism and psychic readings.
Interesting.
Just got Conspiracies Declassified, brand new book, from Brian Dunning. He has a podcast series called Skeptoid, and it's all about things like the Bermuda Triangle and other urban legends and myths. And he does in-depth research, but boils it down to like 15 minutes of just the important takeaways. This is more of the credulous thing. Bob Larson, he's an exorcist that Carrie and I have done a podcast on. He has his book of world religions and alternative spirituality.
See, that's the part of Catholicism that I'm into.
Yeah,
that's some cool shit.
It's funny, he's a Protestant, but he'll wear the priest collar.
Just for fun?
Well, that's what people expect to see when they see an exorcist.
Yeah.
So Carrie and I have attended many of his exorcisms.
Wait, what?
When we're not on the air, I'll show you something really cool.
Cool.
So those are just big
fan of the devil, so that's how I get excited about this stuff.
a few of the many books out there.
Also, people forget, too, that you can actually just, like, browse in your library for this shit. When I was a kid and getting into this stuff, like, a lot of the books I found on, you know, haunting, like, stories of hauntings, folklore of hauntings, alien things, books by the Loch Ness Monster and Bigfoot. I'm really big into the Loch Ness Monster.
Okay.
Which I just got at the library. You can ask your librarian for this stuff.
Also, kind of depends on how cool your librarian is. Like, if your librarian is, like,
look for
into
the goth
it,
librarian.
Yeah, find that goth which I feel like now, like, people who are becoming librarians were, like, the nerdy kind of goth kids.
That's parallel life Mallory.
Yeah.
Very close.
So, like, I feel like maybe there's going to be more and more of these kinds of books in the library.
And I'd like to point out, what you find an author that you like who writes these books, a lot of, you know, just keep looking for that author. And there's a lot of horror writers that write spooky nonfiction too.
Oh, interesting.
A book that we really, really love, My Best Friend's Exorcism by Grady Hendrix. Grady Hendrix wrote a book that's a history of horror paperbacks.
I just got it from the library.
Cool.
Paperbacks
from hell. Yeah.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
So stuff like that you can always check out. And also, a lot of publishers will publish the same stuff. There's a publisher called Watkins, and they publish a lot of books about like aliens and secret societies and stuff. So you can kind of like reverse engineer these books if you're looking for more of them and you're having a hard time finding quality stuff.
Great.
A little hack for you.
A little reading hack.
Oh, I got to throw in my all-time favorite book.
Please.
That's another one of those foundational books that just helps you sort of suss through all this. It's called Mistakes Were Made, But Not By Me. I don't know if you've heard that
one.
No.
It's how we justify foolish acts, selfish decisions, subtitle, something like that. It's by Carol Tavris and Elliot Aronson. And it's all about the psychology of cognitive dissonance and how we'll do something, but then it doesn't jive with our own idea of ourselves as being a nice person or a smart person. And so we'll immediately resolve that by saying, well, that's not true. And it's such a great book. It looks at everything from personal relationships to the government and how it works. And it explains so many things. And I think if everybody read that, the world would be a better place.
Oh. That is amazing. That sounds awesome. Also, all these books will be in our show notes and on the MaxFun.org.
Yes.
MaximumFun.org blog.
Yes.
So,
I'm
like,
not
when you're like, don't, you
don't
furiously jot these down.
I should have brought copies for both of you because that's the book I gift most
often. Is it?
Oh.
That's the book you gift?
Oh, cool.
Nice. Well, we'll get it. That sounds amazing.
So, you can send your thoughts and spooky nonfiction recommendations to readingglassespodcast@gmail.com. And before we solve a reader problem, we're going to take a quick break.
Hello, I'm Carrie Poppy.
And I'm Ross Blotcher, hosts of MaximumFun.org's Ono, Ross, and Carrie.
We wanted to tell you the good news that our podcast is now weekly.
Yeah, weekly. On Ono, Ross, and Carrie, we don't make extraordinary claims. We investigate them.
We go undercover with fringe religious groups, investigate paranormal claims, and participate in pseudoscientific medical treatments and report our findings to you.
In a time where alternative facts reign supreme, we cut through the murky spin to give you the real deal on topics like UFOs, the anti-vaccination
liberation movement, Scientology, and even apocalyptic churches.
We're even undercover for some very exciting investigations right now.
Well, not right now, right now.
Yeah, that would be unwise.
That's Ono, Ross, and Carrie at MaximumFun.org.
We show up so you don't have to.
Now it's time to solve a bookish problem from one of our listeners. Eric writes in, I've been wondering if either of you could lend me advice on a dilemma I've been experiencing recently. My father and I have had a few discussions about media, books, shows, ideas, in general. I've noticed a trend that he almost never watches anything that has a supernatural feel to it. I caught myself giving him a hard time on his inability to expand his horizon with more genres. I worry that I'd be essentially shaming him, but I think his issue is that I think he'd like a lot more entertainment if he'd be willing to suspend his disbelief past the unrealistic. I'm mostly referring to any mythical being like comic book hero or heroine or vampire or werewolf. If it ventures outside of what he feels cannot exist, he loses his liking for the material. He doesn't generally read novels, but he's fairly open-minded on some things like music. Should I keep trying to expand his horizons, or maybe eventually leading him to read more novels, or just spend more time recommending and discussing entertainment media that I know he already enjoys? Bria, what should Eric do?
Oh, man. I like how you really get, this is a really good themed one, because obviously he could do what we've been talking about. You know, any of these books Ross just named, or you just named, like, these could be good, a good, like, you know, gateway drug. Yeah, there's like a way to this is a way to open up the door a little bit, right?
Yeah, like I really love reading fiction about werewolves, but I also love reading nonfiction about werewolves, which seems that like it doesn't make sense, but I love reading books of werewolf legends, like werewolf folklore.
Got it. Yeah. I think my other idea for this is like factual fiction. Like I'm thinking The Martian. You know, like something like that, where it's like there's books that have a lot of facts in them, even though they're fiction. And you named another one, or you guys just talked about another one.
Oh, The Alienist by Caleb Carr.
The Alienist. Right, yeah. The Alienist. So that's a good one, too, right?
Hard science fiction.
Yeah. Like a hard science fiction, but not too hard. I feel like the word hard sci-fi scares people. Mm. Like when people are like when I'm like, well, it is hard sci-fi, people are like, oh, no, like this means too many.
We need to rebrand hard sci-fi.
It needs some rebranding because I think people think it's going to be too dense, but I don't find it to be too dense. I just think it has a lot of like more things that could be real. That's really what hard sci-fi is, right? Yeah. It has more things that could be real.
They just they put that much more effort into world building to make it function within reality, which is really hard to do because usually you need some conceit that takes you out of the real world.
Yeah, but that would be my suggestion. What do you guys think?
Yeah, Ross, what should Eric do?
My first reaction is just, oh, well, don't make him watch or read something.
Leave
he's
your
not
dad
into.
Alone.
Yeah, if the goal is to be closer to your dad and share things, I love doing that. Like when my dad and I can read something or my son and I can read something together or my wife and I can read something together and then watch the movie adaptation, that's really cool. So I would say maybe see if he's interested in any of those sort of gateway books and then maybe you can read those together, or you could just watch the History Channel and you'll get your World War
II. Dads love the History Channel.
I literally wrote down, I was like, yeah, maybe you guys can find something like, you know, historical, like sci-fi, kind of like fun stuff, and I'm sure it could be set in World War II, and he's a dad, so he loves World
because
War II.
Every
it's like
other
a trap for dads.
Every other show on the History Channel is about aliens.
Yeah.
Or, you know, maybe about Hitler trying to find the Spear of Destiny or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
And there was genuine interest in the occult. There you go. Find something about Hitler looking for occultic help. And
specific, but I love it. I feel like that is a definite, like, that could definitely work.
You'll
good
hook
gateway.
Your dad.
Hook your dad.
Dads love Hitler. They love to hate Hitler.
Good dads do.
Good dads love to hate Hitler.
All good dads hate Hitler.
All good dads.
That's a t-shirt.
Yeah. It's our next t-shirt. Yeah, this is a tough one. So as a werewolf lover, my urge is, like, make everybody love werewolves. But I gotta say, it might be okay for your dad to skip the supernatural. Supernatural stuff doesn't have to be for everybody. That being said, I think it's still good to expand your horizon sometimes to get new perspectives and maybe find something else that you like. Maybe your dad's a big fan of something and he doesn't even know. There's a lot of ways to expand your genre horizons that aren't supernatural, though. Your dad might like a Western or a thriller or a really funny literary fiction book. Like, if you're dead set on it, though, I think try giving him a supernatural book that has some plausible explanations, like A Girl with All the Gifts by M.R. Carey.
Oh, yeah.
It's a zombie book, but it has a lot of science in it that feels kind of real, and it might help him suspend his disbelief a little bit. It's not just like, you know, a bunch of zombies burst in, you know, bit everyone's heads off. Ah.
But I wouldn't call that hard sci-fi.
No.
I think it's, like, just science fiction that has, like...
plausible.
They do explain what the fuck is
going on.
Let's
try it. Let's rebrand it as plausible science.
Plausible.
Yeah, I like it.
Sci-fi.
There you go. Yeah, plausible is a nice soft word.
Yes.
Ease you in there.
But plausible sci-fi is almost like offensive to me because I'm like, well, it's all based on science. So it's all plausible. Mm.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know.
Also, Eric, why don't you try like trading off? That's always a good one.
There you go.
Like, hey, Dad, I will watch a 3-hour-long World War II documentary if you read this book. You know, that's always a good back and forth family bonding thing.
Eric's going to write back and be like, my dad hates World War II. He's so much more into World War I.
Is that a thing? Does everyone have a favorite war?
Everyone?
Ooh.
Or dads?
Dads.
Do dads...
But Ross is the dad.
Ross?
We have a dad in the house.
Do you have a favorite war?
Do I? I don't know.
What's your favorite war?
I don't have a go-to.
But I think Ross is a special dad. Ross is a sci-fi... supernatural dad.
Favorite war.
Okay, all right. Well, I think you don't. If you don't have a favorite war.
But you're not into World War II, though.
I mean, not exclusively or to any great degree. I mean, I will read World War II books and then share them with my dad, who does really enjoy World War II.
Now, okay, now that we have to talk about this because now we have a dad in the house to ask.
Go.
Did your World War II interest develop after you became a dad? Was it like a thing? Like your wife got a pregnancy book and you got a World War II book?
I'll say no, because I did take a class on Hitler in college.
Okay, all right.
They're getting them early.
I am trying to get us to watch that miniseries Ken Burns did on Vietnam.
Sure. Oh. Yeah,
I thought
great.
That would be a
maybe
good
that's the
one.
New fad in dad wars.
Vietnam. Well, yeah, as dads are you know,
aging out.
World War II is aging out. Yeah, that would make
Vietnam,
sense.
Vietnam, way more interesting.
Got to get on the new hot war dad wave.
My dad's totally into World War II, so I read Code Talkers and then lent that to him.
Right,
and, you know,
there you
we'll
go.
Do that kind of sharing.
Yeah, well, Eric, why don't you read Code Talkers? And he'll read How to Fuck Two Werewolves by Gail Carriger. And you
at
guys can meet.
No, you just make sure you...
You know, I haven't read it.
Oh, is it actually a book?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I just was wondering if
I don't know if it's How to Fuck Two Werewolves, but it's something
like
that.
Is it, like, same time, or is it, like, that you're, like,
like,
you know,
a werewolf
like, juggling? Eiffel. Like, you're like, oh, this one.
Is it a werewolf Eiffel Tower situation?
On Wednesday.
Or is it a werewolf, like, relay race situation?
Yeah. God.
What's happening here? This is the scariest thing we've
talked
about.
Is it bi-weekly, or is it bi-weekly?
Well, it's bi-month. It's monthly.
Yeah, monthly. Oh, God, that's the issue, right? Okay.
Okay.
Thanks for coming on, Ross. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Well, so if you want us to solve your reader problem, you can send it to readingglassespodcast@gmail.com. And Ross, where can we find you? Where can we find Ono, Ross, and Carrie?
Yeah, so we're onopodcast.com or maximumfun.org. It's a great place to go. We're also on Facebook @onrack, O-N-R-A-C, and on Twitter @onopodcast.
Onrack. You guys have such a good acronym.
Yeah, it's true. That's I literally was like, why is it on rack? Got it now. I got it.
I just learned this recently that an acronym has to be pronounceable as a word.
Oh.
Otherwise, it's an initialism. So, yes, we are.
No one says that.
Well, someone corrected me on that because,
so we're
as
just,
you know.
RG is just an, we're an initialism.
And we're initialism.
RGP?
That's pretty close to RBG.
That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
RGP. Which is close to RPG as well. I like it. It's got a nerdy feel to it. RGP.
I was thinking about Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Yeah.
We know.
Okay. Just making sure.
Oh, that's where I went first.
Okay,
yes.
Good.
That film
I don't know how many
so
other ones.
Did you see the movie?
No.
I heard it's good.
So good.
Yeah.
Oh, I haven't seen it.
Oh, it'll make you cry.
If it doesn't have werewolves fucking, I probably won't.
How can you pay attention for more than
there
a
might
couple
or
minutes?
Might not be wolves fucking in it.
Mallory's just throwing popcorn at the screen.
Bring on the werewolves. So, as always, we want to thank Danielle, who runs our Facebook group, and Chrissy and Rachel, who moderate our Goodreads page. You can email us at readingglassespodcast@gmail.com. Find us on Twitter @readinggpodcast, on Instagram @readingglassespodcast. You can always follow along on our bookish adventures using the general hashtag readingglassespodcast. Thanks for listening, and thanks
for reading.
Look, life is bad. Everyone's sad. We're all going to die. But I already bought this inflatable bouncy castle, so are you going to take your shoes off or what? By Johnny Sun from Everyone's an Alien When You're an Alien Too, a book.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.